What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Solomon Ali NBA on Twitter, joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm back. It's good to be back.
So if you like the podcast, make sure to like the YouTube video, share it with your friends, comment down below, and subscribe for new episodes every week. If you're listening to the audio version, be sure to give us 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Those are the best ways to help others find the show. Yeah.
You should do both.
Yes. If you can do both, please do both, because that's even better. That's even better. Helps both algorithms. So Forrest, the Houston Rockets have won 11 consecutive American basketball games in a row.
It's true.
That's 3 more than this time last week when we recorded.
That's true. 3-0 in a week is pretty good, but 12-1 in a month, right?
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah. They're currently 1 game out of the 10th seed in the Western Conference, which of course means they're 1 game out of the play-in tournament. Now, they have the 6th toughest remaining strength of schedule. By contrast, the team that they're chasing, Golden State, has the 8th easiest remaining strength of schedule. So this is an uphill climb.
Yeah.
They're about to play the Mavs. Luka Doncic is questionable with a knee injury at the time of recording.
Yeah, so they have that going for them.
Yeah, they have that going for them. I'm actually wondering if the Mavs are doing that on purpose because they want to avoid the Warriors in the play-in tournament, because the Mavs are 7th right now, right? Because they would play the Warriors in the first game of the play-in, so they would rather play the Rockets, I would imagine, than the Warriors.
I guess. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe they are.
It's possible gamesmanship. You know, I'm just saying. It's possible. I mean, that happens at this time of year. Look, if you ask me, I'm saying the play-in tournament's like 30 to 35% odds right now. Dunks and threes has it at about 27%. Basketball Reference has it at about 26%. Yeah. I just think Golden State's going to hang on. That said, every win that they gather makes this not such a crazy conversation. Where are you on the play-in tournament right now?
I don't think they're going to make it, because I think they would need probably 45 wins to make it, and I think that's more than they're going to get. Like, honestly, I think they're probably going to go like 4-5 the rest of the way, is kind of my guess. Like, I'm thinking that about 42 wins, which is really good. A winning record is an incredible get for this Rockets team this season, and they're doing it in spectacular fashion. So that's a really positive outcome, and everyone should be excited about that. But I don't think it's going to be enough to get above the 11th seed this year, which is, as other people have begun to notice, is very weird for the 11th seed to have a winning record. But that's just the year that we're in. You know, there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, and listen, like, we've had this conversation last week. Like, listeners of the show may know, I don't view that necessarily as a bad thing, because I kind of think the expectations game is good for Houston. I don't want the expectations to get too high and for certain actors to make rash decisions in regards to this team, right? So I kind of like the balancing act of this, of just kind of like, hey, step up. Next year you have more room to step up, right? That said, it would be fun.
Like, it would be fun.
Like, objectively, it'd be a lot more fun to be a play-in tournament than not.
I kind of think if they are going to catch up to somebody in the play-in tournament, it's not going to be the Warriors. Like, you know what the funny thing is? The Rockets don't control their own destiny right now. Like, they could, there's a scenario in which they could win out the rest of the season, which is, by the way, not going to happen. Before anyone wants to talk about that, that's not going to happen. They actually have to play against some pretty good teams coming up here. But if they were to win out,
including the Warriors themselves, by the way.
Including the Warriors, who are playing a lot better recently. They really do seem to have responded to having someone hot on their heels.
Yeah.
They could win the rest of the way and win 47 games and technically could still miss the play-in. Now, that's very unlikely at that point, because that would mean that everyone above them has like 47 or 48 wins, which would be ridiculous. But it does seem like it's going to be at least 45 wins to get in the play-in. But if they do make it in, they might make it in at the expense of like the Lakers or the Kings, like someone who is closer to free fall. The Warriors are doing better now. I don't think they're going to catch the Warriors, but they could sort of maybe catch someone else who's above the Warriors. Like, the Lakers are just 1 game above them. They have to... catching the Lakers is not really any harder than catching the Warriors at this point. And they have tiebreaker on the Lakers, which is why.
I think if they win that Warriors game, like, that Warriors game is must win, no matter what, right? Because yes. Every game is must win, no matter what. But especially a team that's above, that the team that you're chasing. If they win that game, it literally is a game changer, right? I think they go up a full game if they beat the Warriors. So then it becomes a tie. I think the Warriors have the tiebreaker, but if I'm not mistaken, even if they win, is that they win. Okay, yeah. So they get tied with them, and so the tiebreaker goes into effect. The Warriors get the 10th seed, but if they win out and the Warriors don't win out, obviously that's both long shots. Things change. I mean, we're just gonna have to watch. I mean, yeah. I'm with you. I would bet against it, but I didn't. It's a much closer conversation than I would have thought it was gonna be like 3 weeks ago, right?
Well, they're gonna set history in any case. Like, they are almost certainly going to be the best 11 seed that's ever been, and very, very, very likely to be the first 11 seed with a winning record ever, which is pretty cool. You know, like, it's a good reason to be in the history books, even if it's kind of annoying to know, hey, this team really was pretty good. They just were good in the wrong year, and it's not so bad.
Right. I was reminded that in the years before Houston traded for James Harden, those were like Houston ended up being like the best 9 seeds of all time, basically. Mm-hmm. And it feels kind of like that, like right now. But I will say this, what's different from now and then is that those teams had no hope, right? Because they had nobody, right? This team has guys. Now, we don't know if they have the guy. We'll find out, I guess. But it looks like they might have one of the guys. We'll see. One of those guys who may be in contention to be the guy. Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
Sure.
Jalen Green. Right?
Oh, he's in contention.
He's in contention, but like, we'll get into whatever, all that stuff later. So, Jalen has continued to play ridiculous. Like, that Oklahoma City game is probably, in my humble opinion, the best NBA game he's ever played.
Yeah, I think that's right. He carried the team, which would have been unthinkable like a month and a half ago.
And by proxy, the best game he's ever played, because it's the best NBA game he's ever played.
No.
Even without Shea, that's the playoff team that they beat. He had tough defenders on him all game. Lu Dort was on his all game, right? And he just put on a show. Just flat out put on a show. The shooting was out of this world. What I thought was particularly impressive was actually his footwork. You know, we're going to talk about the passing because a lot of people talked about his passing, which was impressive. But, you know, there was a play in transition where he Euro-stepped and then crossed over and got a layup out of it. And it's like, that's something that I don't remember Jalen having, right? Like, just that kind of side-to-side in transition kind of move like that, right? Like, that's a new thing for Jalen. His footwork throughout that game was impressive. He was just slithering in and out of the paint.
Slimy Jalen Green. I like it.
I mean, like, that's his method of finishing, right? He is not a brute force finish at the basket guy.
He's been able to turn corners on guys in a way which is just remarkable to see. Like, in the Jazz game that just happened, there were a couple of plays where he would just get around a guy. Like, he would just have someone one-on-one and just curl around him and then accelerate out of there, and that's it. They're like, you're not catching him. His ability to turn on his speed is just so remarkable that, yes, you're right, he's a crafty player, and he's finally using that in a way which is very successful for him.
I mean, I said this his first season, right? One of my biggest criticisms of Jalen Green his first season is he might have the best first step in the league, and he might have the best second step in the league too. The problem is he doesn't know what the hell to do when he gets after he uses those steps, right? Now he's starting to like really learn. right? Like, and that's what I'm learning about Jalen, is that he is a good learner, right? Like, he really picks things up, right? Not just passing, right? Because there was, he was exceptional at passing in that game. Mainly the kickout passes, I thought, were impressive. Like, that's something he didn't have in his bag his rookie year, even his sophomore year. Like, what he had was an ability to see forward, right? See big men in front of him. Like, he was good at kicking inside the paint while he was making drives. Now he's kicking outwards. Now he's, there is a game, I mean, there was a pass I saw against Utah this last game where he was actually pretty open. And he's like, you know what? You know who else is open? Jeff Green in the corner, a shorter three-pointer. Mm-hmm. And he's even more open. And he slides it over to Jalen, to Jeff Green. Jeff Green takes a three. That's assist for him. Like, just getting smarter as these games are going along, as he gains more experience, defensively, he is really, I mean, that's probably his biggest area of growth, I would say, this season.
And he had some game-changing defensive plays at the end of that Jazz game.
That block? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I was really impressed by his he's starting to learn the joy of defense, if that makes sense. And I thought that it's been really fun to see him actually get into that aspect of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's Ime. That's 100% Ime. Right? If you're gonna attribute anything to Ime, it's Jalen's defense, right? Like, just the effort that he's giving, right? He's not dying on screens the same way he was when I was watching him in the Ignite. Right? He is much more like, okay, I'm going to try and get around these screens. Even if I don't, I'm going to try to, right? And you're seeing the second efforts. A lot of the stuff he's doing, it actually isn't textbook defense, but it's just effort, right? It's just like Jalen, even if you're not going to like do like a conventional defense, like whatever you're supposed to do, as long as you're doing something, it's better than nothing. Right?
Yeah.
And like with Jalen that rookie year, the bar was set so low because that's how bad he was, right? And he's gotten better and better and better. And you know, like someone said in the comments yesterday, like, oh, it's not true that he's just making his shots. You're right. Right? Like you're right. I was wrong to say that the only difference is he's making his shots. No. Like, he's substantially better at defense. He's better at drawing contact. He's better at a lot of different things, right? But what I meant to say when I say that is, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, that's really the biggest difference, is the shot making. Because he was doing these other good stuff, like the passing, the defense. Like, he was doing that at the beginning of the season, and I was talking about that, but no one seemed to care or give him credit for it because the shots weren't going down. Right.
Well,
yeah.
Canning shots is one of the best things you can do as a basketball player. So,
and that's his function on this team, right? To make difficult shots, and he wasn't doing that. And like, if it were up to me, Forrest, like, if it were up to me, we'd spend the rest of this podcast heaping praise on Jalen Green and the Rockets. Like, that's all I want to do today. That's all I want to do today.
Well, they deserve it.
Yes, you're damn right they do. You're damn right they do. But I'm seeing so much that I have to talk about that we can't just talk about this, right? And it frustrates me. I told you that we were going to go in this direction before we started recording. But it really, like, okay, I'm just going to get into it. Yeah, I'm just going to get into it. So let's start with, like, the way people are talking about this run, right? Which, I love that Jalen's getting all this national attention, right? Jalen, I'm a fan of the Houston Rockets. When the Rockets get national attention for good thing stuff that they do, that makes me happy. I would love that, right? It's the type of national coverage that they're getting. It's particularly divisive. It's particularly divisive because it's like, Jalen Green is doing X and X and X post Şengün going down with injury. Jalen Green and the Rockets are doing X, Y, and Z after Şengün went down. It's like, that's always the thing that gets thrown in. And we talked about it last week. Not only is that wrong, it's dumb. Because Jalen in out. Okay, maybe you disagree.
No, I'll say it is smart in one way, which is that they're trying to drum up controversy and get clicks and watches. So yes, in terms of stirring the pot, it's very smart for stirring the pot. But in terms of basketball analysis, I agree that it's dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll get into to why I believe it. Like, here's the thing, man. If you're saying this stuff, you just weren't watching the Rockets before. Like, I don't know how else to say it. You just weren't watching the Rockets. Like, maybe you stopped paying attention when they went on that losing spell. I don't know what it is, but like, the Rockets have always been playing four out, man. The Rockets have played four out all season. This is not new. The only difference is Şengün was there, and now Amend's there. And also, they're playing faster. If you're going to say Jalen's benefiting from a faster pace, I'm with you. I'm amenable to that argument, right? Oh, Jalen's benefiting from this more free-flow style of play, you know, not having to play this half-court basketball that they had to play before with Şengün. I'm amenable to that argument. It's this whole Jalen has this clogged-up paint just free now. No, that's not what's happening. A man's down there on the dunker spot. And you know who was down there before? Şengün. That's the only difference. It's a different dude. Everything else is the same. Jabari was spreading the floor before. Same thing with Dylan Brooks. Same thing with Van Vliet. And this is not more. This is not substantially more opportunity. It's more opportunity. It's not substantially more. Jalen was second on usage for this team all season. Don't give me that he didn't have the opportunity with Şengün there. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's just wrong, right? We're gonna praise Jalen this whole podcast. I promise you, like, that's not. I'm not here to shit on Jalen. It's just reductive analysis where you're not even paying attention to the Rockets to know that they were playing a style of basketball that they're playing right now all season. The only difference is they're playing faster. Right? And
go ahead. I'll say one thing. One thing that might have helped Jalen since Alperen Şengün went down. Though, as we've noted before, this winning spell began before Shingun's injury. But be that as it may, I think that a rallying around the flag effect may or may not be part of this, right?
Like, what a context to use this in. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, when your best players goes down, teams will often rally around that and say, oh, well, everyone's going to count us out now. Everyone thinks that we don't have a chance, and we need to prove everybody wrong and go out there and, you know, win one for, you know, get one for the Gipper or whatever, right? And I don't think we can discount that, like,
that emotional boost.
Yeah, like, I think Jalen stepped up. Like, I think there's definitely a case that Jalen stepped up. But I don't think it's about, like, Alperen Şengün being out of his way. It's not. Yeah. He didn't get out of the way. I think that there were reasons why he would feel a need to step up that aren't like, oh, finally, now the obstacle between me and the basket is removed, and now I'm the best guy. Like, I think that's reductive analysis. I mean, if Jalen Green comes out tomorrow and says, like, and says these things, fine. But he's not going to, because A, I don't think they're true, and B, that would be crazy to say. But this kind of stuff is what drives engagement, it drives discussion, it gets people arguing on Twitter, and people are gonna, you know, people want to stir the pot, they want to have a hot take, they want to have this level of clout.
But it is our job to nip it in the bud for us, though.
You're right.
Because you're right. If it gets out of hand, it becomes fact. Right? Like the vegan Chris Paul bull. Right? Like, no one nipped that in the bud. And it became fact. Oh, Chris Paul had this rejuvenation because he went vegan. Never mind the fact that we were on this podcast talking about how he was recovering from that hamstring injury and give this a year and he's going to be better. And lo and behold, you gave it a year and he was better. But then the story was on this new diet that Chris Paul was on. And that became the story, right? Like, well, like,
it's more fun to imagine that, I guess. That
yeah,
it takes a long time to heal your hamstring.
Yeah, like if you don't nip this in the bud, this is going to be the story of this run, right? And I don't want to hear one word from, like, Tim McMahon said a lot of interesting things on the Hoop Collective this week, and we're going to talk about some of that stuff, right? He said, something else he said was that internally the Rockets have not mentioned Şengün as a cost for this. You're damn right they didn't, and they, if they say one word, I'm going to be on this podcast and hold them to account. I don't want to hear anything from them. This front office, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear anything from them about Şengün. Yeah.
Unless they're saying we love all of our players.
Yeah. No. You guys don't get to bury this dude again. Not anymore. Not anymore. We're not doing that anymore.
One yelled too many games.
Yeah. No. We're not doing this again. We're not doing this again. Right? Now, there are some interesting conversations I want to have about Şengün, as it relates to his future on the team, right? But if we're doing this Jalen versus Şengün thing, I'm just going to tell you right now, one guy has already ran away with this thing. And it's just not close. It's just not close. We're just stop doing that. You're doing Jalen a disservice when you're comparing him to a much better basketball player. You're doing him a disservice.
No, and there is no versus anyway. There, if you look at this team, they're obviously all on the same page. Like, they right, are excited yes. to be winning, and that's yeah. as far as it goes.
Right.
There is no friction. There is no indication there's any internal friction in this team whatsoever.
But the fans season, make it yes. so, right?
This like season, no.
Right, yeah, you're right. But the fans make it so, right? Because there is this, for some reason, there is a section of the fan base that wants the team to be catered to where Jalen is performing at his best. And here's the thing. The team should be catered to where the team is performing at its best. The job yeah. of the team is not to make Jalen look great. It's to make the team look great. Right? And
yeah, it's to improve and win games.
Right. So, like, I'm sorry. Like, if he... I just don't think... Like, we don't want to do... You don't want to do that. Like, you don't, like, for God's sake, you don't want to play that game because it's just playing with fire. Like, why would you hurt yourself like that? If you're a Jalen yeah. fan, why would you, like, want to, like torture yourself like that? What's the point? Why can't you just enjoy this?
And people like to be right, I guess. This is the kind of discussion that dovetails right in with media talking heads talking about this guy wants a trade, or he's going to want a trade, or whatever. The whole... I mean, for years, Giannis Antetokounmpo was allegedly, or should, or something. Like, the rumors that people tried to stir about him wanting to leave the Bucks, or that he should want to leave the Bucks, or he will leave the Bucks, went on for years, and for nothing. They're already starting it with Victor Wembanyama for, as far as I can tell, no reason whatsoever. And it's because trade talk sells. It's something to talk about. There's 24 hours in a day, and you got to fill every single hour with discussion about every sport, I guess. And people are, when they need to make that engagement, they need to make stories, and they need to make content, they're going to talk about these things. And now that the Rockets are in the limelight, now that people are paying attention to them again, the Rockets are, as far as national media is concerned, a small market team because they are yeah. not Los Angeles and they're not New York.
Right. They're right? not a glamour market, yeah.
Right. And so they're just going, and so people are going to talk about this because this is the thing they're going to talk about. That's the next step in the process is going, how long until Jalen Green asks for a trade or demands that Şengün gets traded? And we just don't need to engage in that. What we need to engage in is saying, wow, these guys are doing great together. This is a great sign for the team's long-term prospects. And how can they make this work? And what can they do to make the team better? Like, you're right, we need to have actual basketball and actual NBA discussions instead of sensationalized, like, pulled from full cloth stories that are made to just simply get people to buy in because the idea of Houston having a good basketball team just isn't sexy enough.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Their games complement each other so well. What do they do that conflicts with each other, Forrest? Like, Jalen is great off the ball. We've said this over and over and over again. He always moves. He's a relocator with the three-point line. He's a cutter. He's athletic. He can play pick and roll. Like, why wouldn't these guys work together?
The only thing I can say is that Jalen does seem to work really well with Amen Thompson.
They're
a really fun pairing. And the trio of Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, and Alperen Şengün has some spacing questions.
That was going to be a concern.
Not a Jalen and Şengün concern. That's a larger team building concern.
And this is why I would say Jalen's probably the safest Rocket of those three, because he's just going to work no matter what construct.
He has a very portable skill set for sure.
Compared to those two, right? It's almost like the existence of the other, of Amen and Şengün. Like, one, those two existing on the team makes Jalen a little bit more indispensable because he's just so complimentary with both of them. So let's talk about this. I think the real conversation we should be having is, hey, Amen's kind of taken off since Şengün went down. And is it a coincidence that he's doing that in the starting lineup with the four out, not having to contend with Şengün anymore and playing three out with this cramps, with the cramp? I think Amen is benefiting more than Jalen is. I think Amen is the real winner since Şengün went down. I think what we're starting to see is Amen Thompson is probably tied for the highest upside on this team. If we're being real, like, age 21 season to age 21 season, because it's kind of surprising to hear, both Amen and Alperen Şengün are in their age 21 season, right? Like, according to basketball, like, that's because Amen was an older rookie and Şengün was a young rookie. Like, even though Shengun's in his third year and Amen's in his first year, like, they're both age 21 season, like, they're kind of like pretty damn close, right, in terms of, like, productivity and impact on the team, right? I would favor Şengün there, but, like, it's kind of incredible how well he's playing and kind of forcing his way into, like, the all-rookie conversations to close the year. I'm not sure if he's qualifies because of the 65-game rule, but I'm not sure how many games he missed due to that ankle injury. But whatever the case, he looks really freaking good. And I'm with you, Forrest. The real conversation isn't Jalen. Can Jalen and Şengün coexist? That's a stupid conversation. The real conversation is, can Şengün and Amen coexist? Because these are the two guys without jumpers, right? Yeah. These are the two guys. The NBA is a four-out league. Every team at their best needs to be four-out. The Rockets have one big barrier holding them from being four out, and it's the fact that they have these two non-shooters, and you can only have one of them. And so I think the conversation the Rockets need to be having internally is, like, which one of these guys has a higher upside, right? Which one of these guys do we think is going to be the guy higher upside, and just pick him?
And also, which one of these guys allows us to play a style of basketball that we want to be playing long-term? Because I think they are going to have to figure this out, which is part of why I do think it'd be good for them if they manage to make the play-in, because getting a taste of playoff basketball would be good for this team. But I say that because you want to find out which style is going to be better in playoffs. I actually kind of have a suspicion that the Şengün style may be more conducive to playoff basketball, because while the Amen stuff is working very well in the regular season, it's a different animal, right? I think the Şengün might be harder to solve for opposite teams because of how many options, because of how many things he can do on the court at any given time and how many kinds of plays he can run through it. While it might not be able to run down teams in the regular season in the same way, I think they're going to have to figure out, how does this work when it actually matters?
Yeah, and I just think, like, it's tough. Like, it really is tough, like, because, like, you there are benefits to both. Amen is one of the best defenders 22 and under in the NBA, just easily. He might be the best under 22 defender in the NBA. Like, he's that damn good this young. Şengün offensively from the post might be the third best big in basketball. I mean, he might be the third best big in basketball without all his qualifiers. I mean, but, like, he is ridiculous. right? So like it's a tough conundrum because they force you to play different styles. I also think like Jabari at center is an interesting look, man. Like it just is. It's something you can't do. And you get when you get Tari back, you get to play him. You get to slide him down to power forward, which I think is probably his best position, right? There are pros and cons to both.
They're gonna have to take a real long look at all this stuff next season. Like, yeah, and that's for all the talk about what are they gonna do with these guys this off season. The question actually is between the guys who are due for extensions or eligible for extensions, I should say, in Jalen and Şengün, are they going to extend one of them, both of them, or neither of them?
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's just none of them.
It's none of them, right? I was talking to someone about this. I know about like, well, they should do this and that. And I'm like, the Rockets. If you pay attention to the Rockets, you'll know how they operate. They don't extend people early, just like as a blanket rule. Like unless for some reason they were able to get like an incredible deal on it, they're just not going to do it. So,
unless like one of these guys had like a Luka rookie year or something, like that's the only season. Yeah,
right. And so, unless there's a deal for a legitimate superstar available, I don't think they will or should trade either of the two, of Jalen or Şengün, this summer. And I don't think they should. Like, unless it's literally on the level of you can get a top 10 player in this league, it doesn't make any sense to do it. You need to have the team healthy next season and actually see what they can do. And also, send Amen and Şengün to your best shooting coaches all summer long, because if either of them can develop, especially if Amen could develop like a passable jump shot, that changes everything. I don't know that it's possible, but you definitely try, right? You always try.
Is Donovan Mitchell a top 10 player in basketball?
That's a hard question.
I kind of think he is. Like, I think it's hard. It's borderline, but I kind of think he is. Yeah. Like, I think he would pass that test for me. Now, if he is, who am I? What's the best player I'm willing to give up? It's probably Jalen, or it's Jalen, or I mean, it might be a man. Like, it's tough. Like, if Donovan Mitchell's on the table, I'm probably gonna have to construct a package that includes the Nets pick that's coming up this year, right? And it probably includes at least one, if not two, of these blue chip prospects, right? And I'm sure teams are going to ask for one of Amen, Jalen, or Şengün. And if that's the question, like, who would you be willing to give? Instinctually, I'd say it's Amen or Jalen.
Yeah, I think. With the current situation, with specifically Donovan Mitchell, it'd be Amen, I think, would be the one you'd most... Because that would just end a lot of your questions. He could slot right in. Not, like, at that spot exactly, but in the guard rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that makes the most sense from a team building perspective in that particular trade, in this particular moment. But, will that trade be available? And will it be available this summer? Mm-hmm. Is the question.
Will that be enough? Like, I mean, listen, the Cavs gave up a lot for Donovan Mitchell. They're going to want a lot back, right?
Do these guys even want out? What really matters is, do any stars want to go somewhere else?
Well, Donovan never picked Cleveland. I think that's true. A note, right? Nowadays, when you get traded to a team, the star player is asking to get there. This is not one of those situations. He wanted to go to New York. No. Right? No. He got traded to Cleveland.
That's not his trading.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He didn't say he wants to go to Houston. I mean, that's the thing, is that we don't know what's available. We don't know who's gonna be wanting or amenable to a move. Mm-hmm. This is all just prognostication.
The reason we're talking about this is Tim McMahon said on a podcast that the Rockets are going to start seriously looking at making a major swing this summer. And this is not new reporting. It's just additive reporting, because Kelly Eco reported something similar.
Yeah, they always who wouldn't want to make a major swing if one's available?
Well, it's starting to heat up for us, though, right? Like, it really feels like, okay, like they're starting to get to that point where, like, they're, you know, it's no longer just like routine conversations. Like, they seem like intent to make a move, which is different than, like, we're always exploring moves.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little worried about that, because right? that level of move,
it better be
yeah. It should be an opportunity move, and not like you're looking for someone to trade your blue chips for. I don't think that's good. I think you have to have, like, you know, a guy is available and you're responding to that. I don't know how you can drum up like a star trade out of the ether. That's not within their power to do. No team can make another star be available.
I think there are more stars that are available than we think. Right? Like, first, like, Paul George hasn't signed his extension. Right? Like, now that's he's a little older for the kind of stuff.
A little older.
Right? Like, for we mentioned Donovan Mitchell. I think there's a legitimate chance Karl Anthony Towns could be on the market. That's
a weird one to think about.
Well, because Minnesota is going to be way up there, right? And they're having this whole situation with Glenn Taylor. selling the team / getting out of the sale, whatever the case, whatever's going on there. Mm-hmm. But that team's about to get real expensive, whoever owns the team. There's situations out there where I really think that this is something that there's going to be opportunities to at least sniff around, right? I just it's never stagnant. We know this. Like, how long have we followed the league? And like, when was the last time we've had a year where no one moved?
Yeah, I guess the concern I have is that if your trigger finger is itchy, you're liable to take shots that you shouldn't be taking, right? Like, they need to be careful, because they have a lot of very interesting like, I think they should be in a slow play situation. They don't need to make any big moves. They don't need, like, I don't think they need to do anything very drastic this summer. Everything went really well this year. Like, why do you want to upturn that development apple cart when you have these guys for another year? You can just keep developing and see what you have. I think that maybe looking to make a move at the deadline could make some sense, because they'll have a better idea of, like, how all their pieces fit together and, like, how good their rookies are.
Well, it might make some sense to be like, hey, we do want to extend one of these rookies, but not both of them, right? From financial standpoint. Like, if they're like, hey, Jalen, we really like Jalen, but we kind of only want to give Şengün a max, and we kind of don't want to give Jalen his next contract. So we'll let the next team figure that out. We're going to go give a contract that we do want to give out, right, to whatever star that we do deem to be value at whatever his contract's going to be. Right, there's also that motivation where, like, they need to make some sort of constellation trade, because they can't keep all these assets. And we've mentioned this time and time and time again. I think a 2-for-1 could make sense, and 2-for-1 plus maybe that draft pick that you're sending for Brooklyn. I'm not closed off to the idea, Forrest.
It depends on the deal.
It depends on the player for sure, right? It better be like, you know, you're talking a Luka type of player, a Mitchell type of player, like one of the top 10 guys. Right, Trae Young. If Trae Young becomes available, I would want to sniff around. Right, I think it has to be one of those upper echelon stars.
Yeah, and we're also in a weird moment where a lot of the stars are older. Like, I think we're kind of we're
transitory
in an overlap period.
Yeah,
we're in like an overlap between the old guard and like the young guys who are coming up to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think they need to. I don't think they'd be nearly as interested in like a Paul George or guys of like hit that an older age, right? Even though those guys are still very valuable, and still very hot commodities, like, they're just, anyone over like 28 is just, I think, not gonna, it doesn't make sense to this team's timeline, right? So they physically need to try for some of these younger upcoming stars. Yeah. I think it's hard because not all of them are really there yet, right? Like, what level of player is Tyrese Haliburton? Very good, right? But do we know if he is going to be, like, a best guy on a champion? What level is he going to be? Where is he going to end up at?
I don't think Haliburton's, like, one of the guys that's available. I don't think...
But I just mean, like, as a, for instance, like, as this kind of, like, tier of young stars, like your Anthony Edwards type guys, like, obviously excellent, but the younger generation is, like, younger enough that most of them, like Donovan Mitchell is in that zone where we know who he is, right?
Yeah.
But I think the really best prospects are the ones who are a little younger than him, and it's still not 100% clear who they are and how they're going to fit into the ecosystem of the NBA when they are the top echelon of players. Like, when your LeBrons and your Hardens and your Durants are, have moved on finally, or just aged out of being, you know, top 20 players, what does it look like? What does a star ecosystem look like? And I think there's a lot of question marks about that currently. I guess it's kind of neither here nor there, but it does make it harder to evaluate what is, like, a good and fair trade for a lot of teams currently.
No, I'm with you. I can kind of see what you're saying. You're saying it's tough to know who's a top 10 player when you have so many of the old guards still around. And also, these young guys haven't fully blossomed yet, so you don't know who's part of the new guard.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I really like Donovan Mitchell. I think he is a top 10 player right now. He's kind of in that... He's kind of the new guard, right? I think Luka is kind of Luka is kind of the new guard, right? Like, I think, like, these are guys that I think are top 10. I mean, I don't know if Embiid's available, but, like, obviously if Embiid is on the market, you have to sniff around, even though you don't know what it would, like, you don't know if, like, that's the position you would want, like, and that's also the thing, like, Where would you want the position to come from? Where would you want the star to go slot into? Like, do you want a point guard? Do you want a wing? Do you want a center? Like, it's tough because, like, the Rockets have drafted so well, right?
Yeah, they kind of have all the positions covered by these young talent
Picked up. And there's also a naivete in believing that they're all going to work out, but they're all kind of working out. Like, it's like, it's weird, well, right?
Yeah, that's kind of why I think that stalling for time is not the worst idea, because you want to see who doesn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. You want to know who is actually... I mean, the perfect storm, the perfect situation for the Rockets is that they figure out who is not going to work out before everyone else does, and then they trade that guy at the highest value he's ever going to have and move on from there. But that's...
Could that be Jaylen?
I mean, maybe it is.
Right?
Like, that could indeed be Jaylen.
That's going to piss people off, by the way. That's like me
it
saying.
Could be, but it could. But the thing is, it could be any of them, right? Like, I don't think it's likely to be Şengün, because we've just, like, seen the consistent level from him that makes it seem unlikely. But it even could be Şengün. It could be any of these six guys they've drafted. Like, they see signs from behind, from behind the curtain that, like, this is not going to work out as well as it looks like it will. And they can get a high price on him. They're not likely to all continue on this, like, a very upward trajectory that they're on right at this moment, right? That'd be fantastic for the Rockets. It would be a very complicated situation that would be, like, the best problem a team can have. But it's unlikely they're all just going to keep, like, skyrocketing. So you have to be ready for what do you do when you see one of them faltering?
No, yeah, 100%. You have to trade at the highest value. This is very much the Presti problem from 2010.
Yes.
Right. Now, what Presti had going for him is Durant became MVP. Right.
Yeah, like, obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not something that Houston has right now. Right. I think Şengün was close-ish. Right. Like, we'll see what happens next year. But they don't have that right now, for sure, right? Even though I have a degree of confidence in Şengün, but they just don't have, like, until they make the playoffs with one guy just kind of with his chest out, right? Like that's usually what happens. That's usually how you know when you have the guy. When you make the playoffs with the guy.
Right? Yeah, it's obvious the guy put you there.
Yeah. That's usually how you know. I think maybe you get this question answered next year. Which means this goes into restricted free agency, which means things get uncomfortable, and which means question marks are going to be around this team for a little bit. And if that's the case, that's fine. But are the Rockets going to be willing to wait? I guess that's the question that we're asking.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to what is available. If you do have a legitimate top 10 player available, then yeah, that's worth almost anything. Like there's nearly nothing that's not worth throwing under that particular bus. But if there's not like a top 10 level player available, if you have like a top 30 player available, is that worth trading some of these very tantalizing prospects for?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a much harder question.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, like most of the time, teams throw their chips in too early, right? Most of the time, teams press fast forward too quickly. Even when it works out, they pressed fast forward too quickly. Like I would say, it worked out with the Timberwolves, but they still did it too quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my hope with this current run with the Rockets is that this growth is coming internally, right? They look different and better, and the culture is good, the mentality is good. Like this is a problem that they fight every game, but the reason they fight every game is because they're like internalizing lessons that are going to help them win basketball games, right? And my hope is that this internal growth can be they can take away the idea from this internal growth that the fast forward button might actually be letting these guys cook a little bit longer.
Because
I think it might be. Like, that might be your fast forward. This is like, let these guys keep on doing their thing and like see what the ceiling is next season when they have more experience underneath their belt. So when they have more consistency and reps with one another.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't want to make an off-season trade.
I don't think they need to. I think they have a good thing going.
Yeah, but like, I'm not sure if the Rockets are okay with good content with that. That's like, but the amount of smoke that's coming out for us it seems to indicate that they have an itchy trigger finger.
Well, Tillman Fertitta loves change, so.
Well, I would hope it's not coming from Tillman. Right, like if it's coming from Tillman, that's a worrying sign. If it's coming from Rafael, I'm more like okay, maybe then you better hit this right, or you better land this train, right? Yeah. Land this plane, whatever. Like
if you're landing a train, things are going very wrong.
Yeah, if you better land this plane. If it's Rafael, you better land this plane. If it's Tillman, why the fuck is he flying the plane? Get him out of the cockpit. What's he in the? Why is he in the cockpit? Get him out of there.
He was in the cockpit during that Westbrook trade some years ago. So
yeah,
we know he gets antsy sometimes, and we know he gets excited by things sometimes. So I mean, also the question is there a particular trade that they know is on the horizon that they're excited about? Like, is there something they're already cooking, or is there like just a general sense they want to do something?
I think there are
a difference right now.
I think there are a couple of guys that are like on the borderline right now. Like I really do believe there's some smoke behind Donovan. There's some smoke behind Trey. There's some smoke behind Karl Towns. These teams that are about to get broken up, like the Lakers, I think there's some smoke around AD. You know,
I think Embiid too. I think the Sixers team is not long for the world. At least the Embiid led Sixers team.
I hope they aren't. I mean, like I hope they are long for the world because I actually really like that core. But yeah, I mean it's possible. But yeah, I mean I just named them. Those are unstable situations. I think Indiana would be awesome if Tyrese was on the table. Yeah, I would love to go after Tyrese.
Yeah, but they have no reason to move him.
Yeah, no. No, I don't think they're going to move him. They're just a young, fun, exciting team. But, like, these other guys, I mean, I kind of think it's possible. And what's also possible is they could just go trade from these previous drafts where they didn't get the number one pick, or they didn't get, like, the guy. They go trade for the younger guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's there's just a lot of options. I think one date that I would keep an eye on is lottery night, right? Because they have the Brooklyn pick. If they land on the top three, Forrest, I mean, it's a near guarantee they're trading that pick, right? Are they? You think they're gonna?
Yeah, they don't have room for more rookies here.
Yeah, or a rookie that good, right?
Yeah,
and that's just an enticing bit of bait for other teams. If something becomes available, even if they draft a guy, I don't know. It's just something I would keep an eye on. Lottery night.
Yeah. Well, I think that gets very interesting because a top three lottery pick, like a top three or four lottery pick, is a lot more. That lends a lot of spice to a package, and that means that they might be able to trade not two of those guys. They could try to trade only one potentially, mm-hmm. depending on which guy they're getting back, but. Yeah, it does sound like they're going to do something. I mean, and we're, you know, I feel kind of attached to these guys because we've watched them scrap and learn together.
Mm-hmm.
They are almost certainly not going to stick together long term. And so we the team does have to figure out who is going to be gone long term and make those hard decisions. But it just always feels early. Like, this is, and it is early. And, like, let us know, if the Rockets manage to win 42 games this year, which I think is, at this point, more likely than not, they'll go to a winning record after, what, three losing seasons?
Mm-hmm.
That's real fast.
Yeah, it's
a really quick turnaround.
But that's what happens when you get so many top prospects like this, and you hit on so many of them.
And I think that's so remarkable that I think it really, you should be very wary of letting that through your grasp. Like, when you have such lightning in a bottle, like, that's worth something. And it's honestly worth more, I think, to Houston than the parts would be worth to other people, if that makes sense.
The best GMs in the league are very good at knowing when to make the pivot from rebuild to contention. Right? The best GMs, they've always been good. Ainge killed it with this timing. Now, he may have messed up the target. We're going after Kyrie, right? But the way he did that was great. Like, Presti obviously did a great job in Oklahoma City making that pivot. You know, like, Sean Marks, not so much, right? Like, there are so many examples. Like, you look at Minnesota, not so much. Right, like there are so many times where they just don't land the plane, or they just get too antsy and they push. It's ownership. Part of it is really ownership. Like, will you let the GM just do their job? Will you just sit tight and stick with the plan? Right, because I guarantee the GM is not wanting to push fast forward that fast most of the time.
Yeah. Well, the Rockets are probably going to be 20 games better this year than they were last year, mm-hmm. which is, like, they're already 16 games better at the bare minimum. If they lose every single game from here on out, they still improve the record by 16 wins, which is something that people scarcely thought was possible, right? That was, like, the line was 10 more wins, and they've surpassed that and are likely to double that. So, that's really remarkable, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, this is a remarkable level of growth. And
what you're saying is,
right, like,
take the W.
Yeah, take the W and, like, exercise some degree of patience, because I think there may be something special here, and if you can cultivate that something special, you can get something amazing out of it. Like, mm-hmm. This is kind of how you reach that, like, San Antonio Spurs situation. That's the upside for something like this, right? Like a bunch of homegrown players, and you hope that enough of them can turn into excellent players that you have this tight knit, like well disciplined, scrappy team that grew up together and wants to keep winning forever.
But right? Possible anymore?
I don't know.
With the financials, because like it seems like the league doesn't want that to happen anymore. Because the way they're making these hard cap rules,
yeah. But the Spurs never paid $1 billion, or they never like were a high cap salary team.
Yeah, you're
they
never gonna find guys. Players like that though. Like who's gonna take those kinds of pay cuts anymore? You see Harden out in the media. Yeah. He took one $10 million pay cut. He's never gonna let anyone forget about it. Right? I mean, listen, it was a big deal. I'm not trying to Harden here, but I mean, like, it is like, why would you ever trust a general manager with that?
Well, I mean, why did they trust the Spurs in the late 90s?
I don't know. Pop.
In the early 2000s.
They had Pop.
Right. And, like, I don't know. I think when you have something this good, you need to be very careful about disrupting it. Like, this
I'm
is
with
a,
you. I'm 100.
Yeah, like, they honestly should give these six guys one more season. At the very minimum, another half of a season.
Give them to the trade deadline.
To figure out.
Yes.
Yeah, give us a little trade deadline to see what you have going on. Because, mm-hmm. like, you could have some real magic here. And I think that's worth, like, not trying to mortgage everything for an aging star or whatever this year. If it's a young star, different story. But still, yes, I want to see more of this. Like, I think seeing what's happened this year has been so enthusing. Even as they were really frustrating for much of the middle of the season, if you look at the season as a whole, the growth is there. Like, the team likes each other. The team, like, you mentioned that Jalen learns quickly, but all these guys are learning quickly. And I think that speaks to someone who's teaching well, right? Like, this team is, not just as an individual player's growing, the team is growing as a team, and I think that's really special. And I think that's really valuable, and I don't want them to they should not get too far ahead of themselves. This is a perfect time for patience and a perfect time for doing what you need to do to keep this garden growing until you need to turn it over to the next step. And I think they have one more season before they really need to worry about, like, being an excellent team.
I'm with you, man. Like, trade deadline. Like, yeah. just wait till February. Wait till February. Like, unless something knocks your socks out off, like, I just sit tight, because like you don't want to be the team that makes the James Harden 2012 trade.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You just don't
want to get clowned for letting go of a guy who's going to be one of the best players in the league, like a top five player in just a few years.
Yeah, like, and chances are there's a chance you might do it anyways, even if you wait enough time. But, like,
sure.
At least you're minimizing the odds by just getting more data. And there's no harm to collecting more data unless a deal is just really, really good. Because
yeah, unless there is just a clear top 10 guy just sitting there waiting for you.
Right. I mean, restricted free agency exists for a reason. Use it. Mm-hmm. Use it. Right? Like, just wait. Just wait. You can, if you want to give the contracts out, you can give them. You can give them out next year. If you want to make the trades, you can make them next year too. You know, just wait.
I think the best thing that this Rockets team can do to be kept together would be to keep winning games at this point.
Yeah, that's the best thing that they can do. That would be really good for the show. I mean, to be honest, like, I would love to come on here and just heap more praise on a Jalen Green, Ime Udoka, the organization.
Great for ticket sales.
Great for ticket sales.
Great for the org.
Great for podcast listens. So love that. And if you enjoyed the show and you want other people to enjoy the show, as we said at the top, subscribe, like, comment, share. Algorithm on the iTunes is helped by 5 stars. Same thing with Spotify. Forrest, where can the people find you on Twitter?
At Dunots, DUNOTS. I'm always there for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, can't quit it. can't quit it, no matter who's owning it. You can find me on Twitter at SolMollyNBA. You can find the show on Twitter at Red Nation Hoops. RedNationHoops.com is the website. And yeah, guys, we will talk to you down the line.